Well, greetings to all of you who are Irish on this St. Patrick's Day, and to the rest of you who all wish you were Irish. We have this third scrutiny today for Renee as she prepares for her baptism at the Easter Vigil, and the beautiful account in the Gospel of the raising of Lazarus. We find our Lord and his disciples in a city called Bethany. And the name Bethany apparently means house of affliction. So there's suffering there. We see the sick Lazarus and the dead, and then dead Lazarus. It also means house of obedience. Martha and Mary and Lazarus were very faithful disciples of our Lord, and house of hearing as well. So all these things are going on in this place of Bethany, a place that our Lord loved to visit. And eventually he went there, as we heard in the gospel, to raise Lazarus from the dead. And all of us, by our baptism, have been raised from the dead. And maybe some of us have had a rather unsavory past, or we're burdened with our consciences of the things of our past. What baptism does is it forgives all of that and releases us from the captivity of those sins of our past, from the burdens of our conscience. Our Lord in the gospel today doesn't do everything himself. He asks other people to help. He asks others, remove the stone from the tomb. He commands then Lazarus to come out. And then when Lazarus comes out alive by the power of God, he then asks others, now unbind him. He doesn't do everything himself. He wants and desires, as part of his plan, that others are part of that, bringing people from death to life, from death to sin to life in the Spirit, as we heard from St. Paul, the Spirit that is living within us. And you and I are those who are called to be assisting ministers, if you like, in the Lord's work of bringing people from death to life, of enabling them to rise again to new life in Christ. This is the work of all of us. Even though some people come, you know, we know not how they come. Sometimes it's a miracle and a mystery. How people come to our door and they say, I want what you have, the life of Christ. I want the fullness of the faith in the Catholic Church. But then our Lord calls us as a parish community to help those people, to bring them to the fullness of the faith. And so I'm glad today that that the season of the Holy Week comes with Palm Sunday next week, we managed to get our financial report done. It's always an effort every year to get it done, but we got it done. And here it is. And I commend it to you because in this report, you see how each of you and I too help in this task of bringing others to life in Christ. It's the task of each one of us. Each one of us is necessary. Now, when I showed this to someone a day or two ago, just when it was hot off the press, he said, it looks a great cover. It's going to be great inside, isn't it? I said, well, don't judge a book by its cover. It is good. There's lots of good stuff in here. But there's a little reality here, too. Neither place, Our Lady of Perpetual Help or St. Philippianese, is meeting its expenses. Both places are running at a deficit from year to year. Okay? Put it in plain words, we're spending more than is coming in. And that obviously isn't sustainable in the long term. But as someone else told me once, you know, the parish isn't a bank. We just don't hold on to money. thanks to the good stewardship of those who've gone before us. Apparently, this parish went through a bit of a financial crisis many years ago, and the parishioners worked really hard to make sure that it could continue. Thanks to their stewardship, there is money which we're able to draw on and continue our work of glorifying God, of improving the church, of maintaining it, of catechesis, of formation, other good works towards the poor. We're often being asked to help the poor. There's so much to do. And thanks to the generosity of those in the past, we're able to continue doing it. But it's now for this generation, or the next generation who are here, to make sure that the generation that follows is able to do the same. We have to show our gratitude to those who've gone before us by making sure that we give now. And not just think, well, we're okay for a few years, and those people next who are there then, they'll have to take up the slack. No, you and I need to be generous now as much as we can in order to keep things going. Just before I, go to some other remarks, just to let you know that in the report, I commend you my letter. I want you to read my letter there. Also, there's a little detail this year on some of the funds that people have contributed towards in the year 22 to 23 on the first page of the financial report there, so you can see what people have been donating to, and the expenses are there as well. And also further on, there is a table of projects undertaken and how they have been or are being funded, or one could say have not been funded. Where there is a red number, it means that the money has just come out of reserves. Where the number is black, that means that fundraising has met the expense of that particular project. Some of the projects also have been completed, some are in progress, like these altar rails, still in progress, as you can see. And there are others that are put on hold, but need to be done at some time. Plus all the things that normally need to be done. So that gives you some idea of what people are donating towards, as well as the general donations to the offertory, which is very, very much, very important for the general running of the parish. I've also asked that everybody be given one of these books called Why and How Much Should I Be Giving to the Church and to the Poor? And really, this book is spiritual reading, because giving is necessary for the spiritual life. It's one could call it an ascetical act. It's a part of the ascetical life where we grow in holiness by giving. And so I encourage you to read this for biblical inspiration in terms of giving. Those who tithe, in other words, give 10% of their income, do give testimony, bear witness to the blessings that God gives them. So we should all consider, can we literally tithe? Can we literally give 10% of our income? And there is a table in the financial report that will give you some idea of what tithing involves. Now, not everybody can. As is evident, as you can hear, there are babies. And there are families that keep on having babies. Those families, obviously, may not be able to tithe. I'd much rather they have more babies than tithe, if it has to be one or the other. But the rest of us, we need really to think, not only can I tithe, can I more than tithe? All right, to keep the work of the parish going and to be blessed. Remember, there's a blessing in doing so. And those who can't tithe, to consider, well, what is the Lord asking me to give? And the more I give, maybe the more the Lord will bless. Because each one of us is involved in removing the stone for others to come to the faith, unbinding them so they can be loosed and walk with the freedom of the children of God in the Christian life with life in the Spirit. And the ways to give, you can give it using the envelopes. You can give online. There's a QR code in this book that you can scan, and that will lead you to the parish website and to the giving system that is in operation in the parish. You can give in many other ways as well. Bill pay sends a check free of charge to the parish, or in the basket. There's something about giving in a way that you can be recognized for what you have given. It's not that I or anyone else goes checking through and seeing what everybody is giving, but it's about accountability, being able to say, this is what I can give, and I give it as my contribution to the work of the mission of the church. There's another important way of giving, and that is in your last will and testament. Very few people seem to remember their parishes in their wills, which kind of surprises me. Just to give my own personal testimony, in my will, every parish that I've served in will get a proportion of whatever's left in my estate. You know, it's going to be huge, right? It's going to be left to each parish that I've served in, according to the number of years that I've served in that parish, because I've received from the parish, and I need to give to that parish. And also because the mission of the church is number one amongst my priorities, and I hope it's yours too, that you put the church right up there in your will. The first thing, how much should I give to my parish or to the diocese or whatever, or to the mission of the church? So we give, as someone else told me soon after I came to the parish, once we give, it's not ours anymore. It belongs to God, and we leave it there. And let others then do the work that we've been doing here of removing the stone, unbinding people, so they can come to the fullness of the faith. So I commend that to you as well. Remember your parish in your will, last will and testament. I've been discerning also about a particular thing that has been on my mind, and I think now is the right time to share it with you. And I've been encouraged in this as well by my parish leadership team. And that is the situation regarding the ossuary here in the parish. As you know, I've been trying to resolve something which was done with good intentions, but was not done well. It was done badly. And I've written to all the families of those whose remains are here, and I can divide them into three groups, basically. There are those who have said, your solution to have these remains moved to Catholic cemeteries in Eugene. Catholic cemeteries will cover all expenses, so no cost. They said, that's a good solution. Thank you for your sensitivity. Please go ahead. There is another group of people whom we've written to and we've not heard from. Some of them we know they've received the letter, but they haven't replied. Others we've been unable to trace. And then there's a group that is objecting to the move. And one of those is a parishioner who has attempted to sue the parish for $10,000. We haven't paid. But because the stakes have been upped in that sense, I've had to retain the service of solicitors, of attorneys. Forgive me for slipping into English there. Attorneys. And just last month paid the first bill, $2,500, just for advice. So that I need to tell you that in all vulnerability and in all honesty. And you can let me know what you think about that. But I think it's only fair that you know that, because it affects the finances of the parish. With that said, I would just encourage us all to entrust the financial well-being of our parish to the intercession of St. Joseph, whose patronage we have been seeking in this novena leading up to his feast on Tuesday. He is the patron of the Universal Church, so he's therefore patron of all the parishes of the church. He was set over the head as head of the Holy Family to administer that family and take care of the well-being of that family. He's set over each of your families as well to take care of them. And may he take care of us and intercede for us and help us to discern how the Lord wishes us to put our shoulders to the plow, how the Lord wishes us to secure the financial well-being of this parish, how the Lord wishes us to really promote the mission of this parish, which is to spread the good news of the gospel to as many people as possible, all for the glory of Jesus Christ and for the Father. Amen.